Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So it's that time of the year, isn't it, when you might be considering whether or not to take your pet on holiday with you? And if you are taking your pet on a trip, what preparation should you make to ensure that they travel comfortably and safely? Well, we have Vet Sarah Boland with us to offer some advice. Hi, Sarah, you're welcome back again. Now, there's a big difference between travelling with your pet within the EU and outside of it, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, a huge difference. Within the EU, we're very lucky. We have a EU pet passport scheme, a pet travel scheme, and that allows, as long as you fulfill certain requirements, it allows pretty free travel within the EU. Anywhere outside of the EU, every country will have its own requirements, and as you can imagine, all the vets can't know every single one of them, so it's up to the owners to see what requirements they are. But some of them can be really strict requirements, and they can require preparation for months and months in advance. So it's important to prepare.
And what about going to Britain then, since Brexit?
So there has been changes since then. Thankfully, it's not too bad going from Ireland to the UK, but now coming from the UK back, there is an additional requirement that you have to get a vet check and a parasite treatment to make the return journey home. And you have to consider that then if you were, let's say, travelling from Ireland to France, but travelling through the UK, you have to consider the fact that there'll be different border control going from the UK to France versus going from Ireland to France. So depending on how long you're in the UK, it will vary, but it is important to check that.
An added complication.
Exactly.
So how simple is it then to work the pet passport system within the EU? Is it pretty straightforward?
It is. Yeah, within the EU, it is quite straightforward. So I would always say to people, give yourself time. At a minimum, you need to give yourself a month before you're planning on going. But I would always say, give as much time as you can. The main reason is that although Ireland is a rabies-free country and it's classed as rabies-free, you still need to have a rabies vaccine for your pet. And from when it's administered to when it's valid can be, depending on the vaccination that's used, on average, it's about 30 days wait period, like a cooling off period. So if you don't give yourself that time, although your pet has the paperwork and it has the vaccine, it's not valid yet. So give yourself the time, visit the vet. All the vets in Ireland will be able to give you advice on the EU pet travel scheme. They'll be very familiar with it. Mm-hmm. It's just further afield that involves a lot more research and paperwork.
So it's like the passport for yourself, which we were talking about on the programme last week. You just need to get in there on time and make sure you've everything done well in advance of your travel.
Yeah.
And when you came in there during the ad break, I was asking, like, what is better for your dog or for your cat?
Yeah.
Staying at home, going into kennels, in terms of the stress levels now and how they're going to feel about it, or going on the trip with you? Is it possible to answer that question?
It's so unique. I think that it's just like for humans, you know, do they prefer a holiday in Ireland or do they prefer a holiday abroad? Some people get stressed with travelling and things. So dogs are the same. Some of them get really car sick. They wouldn't be an appropriate pet to take away. Some of them don't like strange environments. So again, if you can build up and maybe get them used to the kennels, it's a bit more of a, there's less variety in that and they can get used to it. But as a whole, a lot of pets do get a little bit stressed and worried in kennels. They don't know you're coming back, and you know, it's good to use the same kennels all the time. Make sure that they have their normal food, that they have their beds, their smells of home. But then again, some pets are just really used to travel. They've been used to it since they were young, and you know, their owners are very diligent in how to travel. They know how often their pet needs a break, and they may go back to a familiar place every time. So it's just, there's so many different factors that influence it.
So you'll know your pet best yourself, and you'll know what they prefer. So then if we're looking at a car journey with a dog, which I suppose most people, it's probably more likely that they'll be doing that rather than bringing the dog abroad with them. You do need to be careful how you transport your dog. Throwing them into the boot untethered probably isn't a good idea.
No, we wouldn't advise that. There is a legislation in Ireland that pets have to be restrained when you travel with them. So you'd see it all the time, people travelling with small dogs on their lap. And not only can that distract the driver, which is obviously dangerous, but if I, let's say, just put my vet hat on and I just think about the animals, if, God forbid, there was an accident, and it doesn't have to be a big one, and your airbag goes off, the only your pet is between the airbag and you,
mm.
and they're not built to sustain that sort of force. You also have, you know, sudden breaks. If they're on the back seat, they fall into the footwell and hurt themselves. So it's important you restrain your pet. If they're in the boot, again, they can try jump over the back seat and in, or over, yeah, into the back seat then. So you can get crates for them that are specifically designed for the car boot, or harnesses that are designed for the back seat. And similarly for the pet carriers for smaller dogs or cats, you can get ones that tether to the seat so that they're secure. So if you break, they don't launch off the
okay.
seat.
And the dog with the head out the window, I mean, yeah. you see that and you think that probably isn't the safest thing. Mm-hmm. But if the dog is restrained and has the seatbelt mm-hmm. on, is it yeah. okay for them to have their head out the window?
Well, it's a bit like us having our head out the window. Something yeah. could hit them. A fly could even, you know, if their eyes are very vulnerable to damage. And I know they look so happy. And, you know, they're taking it all in. They're smelling the things. Like, I would say, obviously, having them restrained is a lot better than not restrained. Mm-hmm. I would see one case every year of a dog that's jumped out the window of a moving car. So bear that in mind. You might think they won't do it, but all it takes is a bird to fly and, you know, they lose yeah. sense.
Or they see another dog that they don't mm-hmm. like the look of, or they do like the look of, yeah. and they're gone.
Yeah, they're driven by impulse a lot mm. of the time. But you can't, like, injuries are so easily, they could happen so easily, whether it's a branch or an insect or something. I wouldn't take the risk myself.
Yeah. Now, I did see on one of the warm days we had, I think it was last week, a dog sitting in the front seat of a van, and it's just never a good idea, is it? Unattended.
No. It's no different to leaving a child in a car or yourself. You know, when you park up, you feel how quickly it gets hot in the car, and it doesn't have to be that hot outside. So, you know, you should, if you're taking breaks, take your pet with you. Don't leave them in a car that's unattended, that there's no air conditioning on in. Mm-hmm. Because again, every year we see so many cases of heat stroke.
Do you? Every year?
Every year, without fail. Some of them are, you know, pets that are being walked in the really hot weather and they're not designed for it. And others, again, are left in cars. But our bodies and their bodies are designed to have a range of temperatures that it can survive at, and obviously an optimum temperature. But if it goes too high, their body systems start failing and they go into organ failure. They have seizures. It's incredibly distressing. And obviously you feel a huge amount of guilt with it as well, because it's so preventable. So
yeah. And they can't regulate their body temperature, right, in the way that we can.
They don't sweat like we do.
Yeah.
So they can sweat from the pads of their paws. And then you also have to consider that our short-faced dogs, like our English bulldogs, pugs, shih tzus, they don't have a sinus cavity the way a longer faced dog does, and they find it very, very difficult to regulate body temperature, and that's from cold weather and hot weather. So particularly those breeds you have to be so cautious with in the hot weather.
And if you have an animal that is prone to be car sick, can you do anything about that?
You can, yes. There are medications that can be given. They work very well. I suppose it's if you're doing very frequent journeys, it can add up and end up being an expensive hobby. But absolutely, there are medications that can be given, and some of them are prescription, and then there can be other medications that maybe, if the issue that's causing them to get sick is more of a nerve-based issue,
there's stress,
calming aids and things as well. Exactly.
All right. So there are lots of things that you can do for a safe journey. Sarah, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
That's Vet Sarah Bowen.